The Tom Woods Show, episode 2050.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here. Kind of an unusual topic for the Tom Woods Show, but my guest today is Jared Wall, who has launched a business called The Hemp Spot, but the is spelled with a C, so it's THC, Hemp Spot. So THCHempSpot.com is the website. And he sent me an email. Subject line was, "The e-business we started thanks to you." Well, how am I not going to open that? So I did. And he says that his business was doing very well. But then he says, "We discovered that the cannabis industry is still largely discriminated against by financial institutions. They lost their payment processing and banking services, and their business was effectively shut down for 72 days. And they have an ebook recounting their travails. Now they're back up and running, or as of October of 2021, and they've been working to grow their client base back ever since then. But it's an interesting story. We're going to be talking about something called Delta 8 THC. Some of you folks already know all about this, but that's interesting. What he describes it as, the amazing market-based answer to political prohibition of cannabis. So here we are with applied libertarianism on episode 2050. I should say, by the way, this is my mistake, and I know some of you don't even care, but as a podcaster, I have to say it every now and then, especially because I've been moving around a lot. I've been moving my equipment from one place to another, and sometimes when you re-plug things in, the outcome is not quite what you expect. Oh, I can't believe I made such a rookie mistake in the interview I'm about to share with you. Oh, such a rookie mistake. I thought I was using my good quality microphone, and actually I was using, the built-in microphone. Oh, horrible, horrible. Now, I could go back and re-record all my parts and stitch them all together, but I don't know. That's just fake and awful and takes forever, and you're just miserable doing it. So we're just going to hope that the content stands on its own merits. Anyway, here we go, my interview with Jared Wall. Jared, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. So I got your email. And by the way, there are people who more or less invite themselves onto the show by emailing me. Very, very few wind up making it. And that's not to say these aren't all wonderful people, but I have to ask myself, what's a good episode? You know, what makes for a good episode? And some people may have the occasional interesting thing to say, but I don't think I can make an episode out of it that doesn't reflect on these people as individuals. But I saw your thing, and of course, the subject line, "The e-business we started thanks to you," the subject line itself was a model of how to get the attention of somebody. What? What is this? So, okay, let's start right there. So you say you found and built something that we think will work for us. So what is that?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, thank you, Tom, so much for this opportunity to come on your show and share our story with your audience here. So my wife and I, we've been married for 6 years now. We've got a couple of small children. She stays at home with the kids, which I love that we're able to do that. But, you know, what kind of limits us a little bit financially, you know, not having two incomes like most people are used to these days. So we've been really interested in looking for the possibility of building kind of a side hustle that, you know, could potentially maybe be built into something more substantial in the future. And, you know, listening to your show has been a great inspiration for that. You know, you've had a lot of examples of people coming on your show with all kinds of different businesses that they've started. Yeah, so, I mean, we've done a whole bunch of different things. I don't need to get into all of that. But, you know, long story short, the job that I have kind of keeps me on the road a little bit, traveling for business. You know, I check into hotels from time to time. And, you know, the concierge at the front of the hotel always goes through the usual spiel, you know, welcome, you know, checkout is at this time, the breakfast is at this time. One particular hotel, that there was a lot of them, there's bars, but not always. Anyways, the receptionist was saying, you know, the bar opens at 6. I think he gave me a coupon for a drink or something. But he, you know, I wasn't really too interested in drinking. That's not really my thing. But, you know, smoking some cannabis is kind of my thing from time to time. And being that I was out of town and didn't know anybody and had some time to kill before my meeting the next day, I went back down to the guy at the front counter and I asked him kind of as delicately as I could. You know, I appreciate the offer of the bar, but is there any chance that you know somebody around here or someplace around here where I might be able to find some cannabis? And, you know, I used the, I don't know if you may or may not be familiar, but there's kind of a universal pot smoker symbol. You put the thumb and the index finger together, bring it up to your lips, you know, as if you're smoking a joint type thing. And I made that gesture to him. He kind of laughed. He was like, well, you know, go check out this CBD store. It's about 10 minutes away. And I had heard of CBD before. I knew what it was. It wasn't exactly what I was looking for. Just, I mean, for your listeners, and I guess maybe even for your sake, Tom, the CBD is basically, it's cannabis, but without the intoxicating chemical in it, THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, I think is what that stands for. THC is the psychoactive compound in cannabis. And CBD product just is the same thing, just without that THC compound. So it doesn't get you high, basically. And so I wasn't really too interested in that and going to a CBD shop, but I didn't have anything else to do. So, and I had never been to a CBD shop, even though I had been seeing them for a couple of years. So I figured I'd go check it out. Went in, was talking to the guy behind the counter. And basically I was like, you know, tell me about this CBD stuff. Is it anything like the real thing? And I did, you know, made the same symbol to him, you know, index finger and thumb up to the lips, and he kind of laughed again. He said, well, you want to try out this new product, this new stuff. It's called Delta 8. He's like, it's THC. I was like, it's THC? How is it THC? Is, you know, that's illegal. Yeah. Where we are, where I was at the time, it was in North Carolina. It's not even legal medicinally in North Carolina. So I asked a bunch of questions. He knew a little bit, you know, not a ton, but basically he said that it was a new kind of market product that had just been developed that had basically circumvented this political prohibition on cannabis, which I found fascinating. So kind of a history on that is that I would say 2018, maybe it was 2017, that year the Farm Bill was passed. I think the Farm Bill is an annual thing. You probably know better than I do, Tom. It's one of those big NDAA type bills that Congress passes every year. But the 2017 or the 2018 Farm Bill in particular included language that legalized hemp for industrial cultivation. And hemp is the plant, you know, that basically is the cannabis plant. You know, that's where the flower comes from that people smoke, just, you know, become known as weed or marijuana. Anyways, so hemp was allowed for industrial cultivation, but being that it's the state and they wanted to make sure that they weren't letting people get high as a result of it, they specified in this bill that you can cultivate hemp for industrial purposes so long as, you know, that hemp has less than 0.3% THC, I think is what the stipulation is. I might be off a little bit, but it's something like that, 0.3%. It's very arbitrary. And so they specified, though, in making that stipulation that it's Delta 9 THC, that it has to, you have to have less than 0.3% Delta 9 THC, which that makes sense because, you know, in cannabis, in the plant, Delta 9 THC is the most commonly found variant of the THC polymer. And so it makes sense that they called out specifically Delta 9, but Delta 9 THC is not the only variant of the THC polymer. And so after a couple of years of industrial cultivation of hemp, some smart market-focused people realized that they could basically get around the federal prohibition of cannabis by focusing on other variants of the THC compound besides Delta 9. So any product that, you know, I have for sale on my site meets that 0.3% Delta 9 THC stipulation, but then it's rich in Delta 8 THC, which is essentially the same thing. It's just not illegal. So I guess I'll leave it at there for now and, you know, see where we would want to go from here. But that's kind of a basic introduction.
Okay. So first of all, I have a friend named John Bush who has been involved in Kratom for a while. And he found that with that, that kind of occupies some kind of weird limbo position in terms of legality. Like people almost don't quite know what to think about. And so what that means is that if you're selling it to people, you're going to run into a whole bunch of extra obstacles over and above what you'd have with any business. And so some of that can mean there are platforms that won't let you advertise. Like, for example, Facebook won't let you advertise Kratom, stuff like that. So you decided to go into this. You were describing for us the challenges that you face. And I remember what it's like traveling a lot for work and all that. So can we talk about obstacles that you run into when you're dealing with a product like this? Because in fact, I remember being in last year when I took my, been taking a trip to the Virgin Islands each of the past 2 years. I'm going to keep that up as American Virgin Islands as a habit. And somebody was offering us some Delta 8. And I, being an idiot, I didn't know anything about anything. But this is a place where the U.S. Virgin Islands are not friendly to, I don't think they have any kind of legal marijuana, but Delta 8 was somehow okay. Is that the deal these days, generally?
Yeah, it is. It is very much kind of a gray area. But I mean, per the letter of the law, it's perfectly federally legal. You know, I'm by far not the only person who's gone into this business, into this world. I guess on the national level, you know, in Washington, federally, it's perfectly legal. Now, it varies going state by state and municipality and by municipality. And, you know, just for example, Texas, a couple months back, they woke up one morning and their, I think it was Department of State Health Services or something, had added Delta 8 THC to their list of scheduled compounds or something like that. I don't know exactly what the phrasing they used was, but they basically made it illegal by adding words to a website overnight. It was very bizarre and, you know, it kind of threw up a bunch of complaints, and there was a lawsuit very quickly. And eventually the courts in Texas threw out the Department of State Health Services' ruling. So basically ruled that Delta 8 would be legal in Texas unless, you know, it went through the normal legislative process, which it hadn't. So there's all kinds of examples like that all over the country. So for me as a business owner to keep track of that, it's kind of impossible. So I ship indiscriminately. You know, it's kind of on the customer maybe to do their research a little bit to see, you know, what the status of Delta 8 is in their locality. But I haven't had any issues. None of my customers have had any issues. And in talking to other people in this business, you know, in terms of just buying and selling this stuff, I haven't had any, you know, issues like that. And I wouldn't expect them to. But I guess kind of to get a little bit more into answering your question, we have faced some very serious difficulties, you know, just because this is a business or an industry that is still very much kind of politically discriminated against.
Right. And so I rather expect that the kind of experiences you had are the sorts of things you'll tell your grandkids someday and say, can you believe that this happened to
yeah,
me?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think my grandkids will know what it was like buying weed back when, you know, when I used to 10, 15 years ago, you know, having to meet some guy in a back alley or, you know, going into some stranger's car or something like that. But I mean, anyways, so, you know, we launched this business back in June and, you know, we were just going pretty good. You know, Scott Horton generously had us on his show and has been advertising for us, which is, has been great. And, you know, in that first, you know, from June through the beginning of August, we started building up a little bit of a clientele and we're doing halfway decent and starting to build up some more regular sales. And then in the beginning of August, we woke up to an email that we had gotten from PayPal at 4 o'clock in the morning. They sent the email saying that our payment processing services had been immediately and permanently disabled because they don't like to do business with anybody in the cannabis world.
Oh, wow.
So we woke up and just all of a sudden couldn't accept orders on our website. And we're, you know, we don't have a brick and mortar location. We're just doing the e-commerce thing because it's low overhead and it's, you know, provides geographic freedom. But in order to do that, you got to be able to accept credit cards. And we woke up one morning and all of a sudden we couldn't. And then about 3 or 4 days later, our bank that we had our business banking account set up with did the same thing. They gave us, I think it was 72 hours to close out the account. So we didn't have banking, we didn't have payment processing. And fortunately, you know, there are, because this is still somewhat of a free market here, there are financial institutions that are willing to cater towards what are, you know, so-called high-risk businesses, which is what PayPal and our bank had, they had cited. Sorry, we don't do business with high-risk businesses. But there are.
Are you able to disclose to us exactly what those are, or do you feel like that would be indiscreet?
Which financial?
Well, the places that can accommodate you.
Well, it took me a long, long time to find. I ended up going through a third-party service who specializes in partnering high-risk businesses with financial institutions. So, I could tell you my bank. It's a small bank out of Texas. But honestly, the payment processing it's like two or three different companies that are all kind of working together to all provide it. It's very
And where are you located?
We're just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Is where our home base is.
Okay. Jeez. So it sounds kind of tricky. So I know you have an ebook about all this, which goes to show that I appreciate you do follow the Woods model.
I sure do.
And you tell your story about what all this was like. But I have a feeling that if you were to compare the Tom Woods Show to the average vanilla podcast, I probably have more people who might be, in one way or another, more likely to get in trouble with what they're doing. The listeners of other podcasts who might actually be interested in the nuts and bolts of what you did. Is that in that ebook?
Not exactly. To a certain extent, and we've got if any of your listeners are interested in specifically the nuts and bolts, I'd be happy to contact them with the financial institutions and that third-party service that I used. I'd be happy to partner people with them if they're interested in kind of going down this path as well.
How did you figure it out? Did a friend know about it, or you just researched until you couldn't research
no more? We just researched because
we
went to about five or six different banks and approached a couple of different payment processing services on our own before we found this third-party company that partners financial institutions with high-risk businesses. And my wife, I'd have to ask her, she worked so hard to find a solution to this problem because we were starting to get a little bit excited. By the end of July, beginning of August, sales were starting to come in a little bit more regularly. And then the rug was just pulled out from under us and it was really disheartening. But she really worked hard and she found all of this stuff and got us back up and running. So that I really got to give it to her more than anything. But I would, like I said, I would be happy to provide more details to any of your listeners who are interested. They could, contact us through the contact page on our website.
Okay. I shouldn't dwell too much on this, but I am interested in the challenges that people like you face. So, okay. But now it sounds like, knock on wood, everything's up and running.
Yeah, everything's up and running. Kind of during that downtime, during that down period, it was really difficult. As you say, we kind of got lucky finding this third-party service, I feel like. I was even going to some of the, there are, local CBD shops that are brick and mortar that have gotten into selling Delta 8 as well, since it's become a thing. And, I've gotten to know some of the local brick and mortar shop owners, and I even went to them and I asked them, what are they doing? And they kind of told me, it was hard for me to get good advice. They were kind of telling me like, hey, when you apply for a business banking account, just be more vague when you're telling them what you're selling.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a good
approach.
And
I was like, you know what? I can't do that because, I don't want to have that, shoe hanging over my head. This whole thing could just happen again. So I'm very happy that, like I said, my wife, she found a solution to this. And so our bank knows exactly what we're doing is on board. All of our payment processing knows exactly what we're doing and is on board. So we're on solid ground now, but it was tough sledding there for a while.
Yeah. I can totally hear that. Well, just getting started on this, did you have to look up what the laws of North Carolina said about this? Some of these...
Yeah, I did. We met with a few different attorneys who are kind of in the cannabis space. And, had some good conversations with them. And like I said, talked to a bunch of other business owners in the same world. So it was very challenging. But what I love about, honestly, if I can maybe change the subject a little bit and steer the conversation a bit of a different direction is that, what I love about this Delta 8 market that has developed, even more so than the legal weed market that has developed, say in California or Colorado or that's being pushed nationally even, is that obviously cannabis is moving inevitably in the direction of being culturally acceptable, which means that it's going in the direction of going to be, politically legalized here at some point. And that's already been happening largely in many places across the country. The problem with legalization being driven politically is that it's kind of growing up this new almost boys club in the cannabis industry, in the cannabis world, where, you know, some of these states, to get a license to sell, you know, legal Delta 9 cannabis, it's very expensive and the regulations are very onerous and it's, you know, it's very challenging. And so it makes it so that only a small few can break. There's a lot of artificial barriers to entry that are being created in the, you know, the quote unquote legal weed world that's growing up. What I like about Delta 8 and what I find fascinating by it is that it's totally grown up based in the market. It's totally market-based. It didn't grow out of any political legalization. It was just market forces doing the, you know, what us libertarians love to point at, doing voluntary things to provide goods to willing customers, you know, bringing buyers and sellers together. And it also bypasses that boys club. You know, anybody basically can get into the Delta 8 world because it's not subject to the same kind of licenses in a lot of states. Now, who knows if that changes at some point in the future, but for now, it's a very low barrier to entry into this world, which is the way that it should be. In the, you know, to sell cannabis should be very low barrier to entry. You know, anybody should be able to plant some seeds in their basement or in their backyard and you know, grow a plant and sell to their neighbors or their community. And if that was the case, if it was, you know, if the market was forcing the legalization here as opposed to, you know, the political legalization that's coming, then, you know, the people that this state prohibition has been negatively affecting for so long, you know, all of the poor and minority people who have been locked in jail for possession, they should be the first people and the people who benefit most from, you know, moving in the direction of legalization and ending prohibition. Unfortunately, you know, with the licenses and how expensive they are and the regulations, it makes it impossible for some, you know, smaller, poorer, you know, more marginalized people to break into that industry. And so I like that Delta 8 has kind of bypassed that.
Hey, everybody, a quick word of big, big, big thanks to our sponsor, Skillshare, which is offering our listeners a 1-month free trial. Make 2022 a year of new learning, growth, and connection through creativity with online classes from Skillshare, the premier online learning community. There are so many fascinating classes on Skillshare on topics including illustration, design, photography, animation, productivity, film, and a lot more. I personally have benefited from Thomas Frank's Mastering Productivity, Create a Custom System That Works. As you know, I'm balancing an awful lot in my life, and I don't want to run myself ragged. I want everything to be organized. I want my time to be spent just the right way, not wasted, but not frenetic either. And that's exactly what I'm able to do now. Whether you're a dabbler or a pro, a hobbyist or a master, you're creative. That's why Skillshare has classes for every skill level, and they have short lessons, hands-on projects, classes designed for real life. These aren't 8-week courses with 53 meetings and no, they're made for real people, and you're going to love them. You can tap into the creativity you have in that noggin of yours. Skillshare helps you move your creative journey forward without putting life on hold. You'll create real projects and get the support of fellow creatives so you can accomplish real growth. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/woods, where our listeners get a 1-month free trial. That's 1 month free at Skillshare.com/woods.
All right, let me ask you a really dumb guy question. There have to be a sliver of dumb guys out there like me in the audience. Suppose there hadn't been prohibition ever. Are people interested in Delta 8 because it enjoys this legal ambiguity and that if they could just get the kind of cannabis they would prefer, they would always prefer that? Is there something unique about Delta 8 that people would want anyway, even under an ideal legal regime?
That's a great question. And I've gotten similar questions to that. And that, you know, like, hey, if they ever, you know, just straight up legalized, you know, regular weed, what would you do? And the answer to that is, well, I would try to add it to what I'm selling. It would depend on, you know, if it came with expensive license fees and whatnot, and if I was able to afford those fees. But I think that there still would be a market for Delta 8, even if, you know, regular weed was legalized. And that is because while it is very, very similar, it is slightly different. And it's it's hard for me to say, you know, what the effect of it is and describe it, you know, it, unless somebody has tried it. But basically, it's the same kind of effect, but a little bit less, if that makes sense. So Delta 8 is basically the same thing as regular weed, but a little bit less. And so, you know, it's a little bit less inebriating and intoxicating. So, yeah,
well,
I think
so,
that's
so
the main
difference.
So
could you maybe make a comparison then? It would be like, not everybody who goes to a bar has exactly the same drink. You could go in there and have the drink that's going to just put you completely out, flat out on the floor. Or you could have something that, let's say, gets you there only more gradually. And there's still a market for both of those.
Yeah, I think that's a very good analogy. Definitely. You know, you could go into the bar and have a double Long Island iced tea, or you could have a short, you know, Miller Lite. So
what are the, I assume there you've got to be some kind of age restriction when ordering from you?
Yeah, we require any of our customers to be 21 of age or older. And, okay. You know, kind of speaking to your bar analogy there too, is that, you know, with the legal industry of cannabis growing, there's a lot more variety out there to the consumer. You know, on my website, you know, not only can you just buy, you know, flour that you could, you know, regular that you would crush up and put into a pipe or roll into a joint, something like that, but there's also gummies, there's peanut brittle, there's honey sticks, there's all kinds of different products that are out there. And also, you know, what I've found is that the legal recreational drug industry is kind of developing exactly how you and I might predict, in that it's become standard that anybody selling any of these kind of products have third-party lab analyses that have been done for each of their products that show exactly what's in them, you know, exactly how potent they are, whether or not there's any, you know, pesticides in them or anything like that. And so the customer can be very knowledgeable in their purchase, as opposed to, you know, what I was mentioning earlier, joking with my grandkids that, hey, I used to have to get in the backseat of some dude's car down an alley that I didn't know. Now you can find exactly what you want and be very specific about it. So it's something that I'm excited about, and, you know, see where it takes us.
Well, it's an interesting story. So you've only been at this for less than a year, right? Just over half a year?
Yeah, well, I started building the website probably exactly a year ago. I found out about Delta 8 at the end of December 2020, talked to my wife about it. We agreed. I started building the website January. About 6 months later is when we finally launched. And so, yeah, we've been up about 6 or 7 months, although we were down for almost 3 months of those with financial institution issues. But yeah, we're still pretty new at this.
Do you feel like you have some unique challenges, but in the course of doing this, do you think you've acquired any advice that might be generally applicable to people starting businesses? Because I think a lot of people are looking around thinking, what could I possibly start? I mean, yeah, the Biden mandates got struck down, at least some of them. But there are still crazy employers who want to impose them anyway, and there's all kinds of nuttiness going on, and you never know what they'll try next. I think people are realizing that if they work for somebody else, which is nothing wrong with that in principle, but they could suddenly be subject to all kinds of arbitrary requirements. So I think there are going to be more people looking. Do you have any just general advice?
I mean, you know, I think I've been lucky, you know, in the fact that I do work for somebody else. I do collect a paycheck, but fortunately, I work for a very small company. And so we're not, you know, one of these large, you know, Fortune 500 companies that's really taken all of this stuff overly seriously. But I guess, I don't know, I'd almost kind of use your words as advice. You know, Tom Woods rule number 36 or something, that no one ever does anything. And I think people just got to do something. And, you know, in my email to you, like you brought up, and, you know, again, thank you very much for this opportunity. But my wife and I, we've tried a number of different things. This wasn't our first go at it. Sometimes it felt like we were taking a couple of swings at the nail with the hammer, and if the nail didn't go all the way into the wood, then we moved on to the next nail.
Right.
And then on to the next nail, which kind of got frustrating for a while.
Well, some things don't work for some people. Like, they just aren't any good at it, or other things do work, but they absolutely hate doing it. And they just think, geez, the prospect of doing this the rest of my life makes me want to go back to that horrible job mm-hmm. I had before. So you don't want that yeah. either. So you seem to have found exactly the spot where you want to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm, you know, my day job, I'm a salesman by career. And so it's kind of natural for me to be selling. And I do enjoy writing also. And, you know, like you said, I put together a free ebook that people can check out at our website. And, you know, my marketing, in addition to trying to go on shows like yours, is that I have a regular email that I send out. And it's not just, you know, hey, buy our stuff, here's a coupon. It's, you know, here's some history of, you know, cannabis from the 1800s, or here's something, believe it or not, the Taliban are getting into the cannabis industry, you know, things like that. So I do kind of take pride in the emails that I write.
That's
so,
good. I love that. I love to hear that. That's good. That is good.
Thanks.
And it can be fun, actually, because occasionally it must be like being a songwriter, where occasionally I'm pretty happy with my emails every day, but occasionally one is just such a home run that I just feel so satisfied. So it must be like, you know, when the Beatles wrote Hey Jude or something, you know, like, when, you know, yeah, like, I know this is going to be a smash. I know this is going to be great. And that is a fun thing, that if you do email the way you and I do, it takes what can otherwise be a job full of drudgery and makes it exciting. Every day you have another challenge. How can I make the offer that I'm presenting to the world more interesting and exciting, and less look like here's another pitch or here's another 25% off coupon? Let's make it mm-hmm. fun. Fun for you, the writer, and fun for them, the readers.
Yeah, that's what I try to give anybody. Honestly, you know, somebody doesn't even have to be interested in the product to sign up for my email newsletter, and they'll probably find it, you know, hopefully entertaining and maybe even a little bit informative. But yeah, it's a blast. And, you know, you mentioned the subject line that I used in my email to you. I knew, I even showed my wife. I was like, come check this out. This is going to work. And glad I was right. But anyways, yeah, you know, subject lines are, honestly, for me, are almost more difficult than the body of the email sometimes.
Oh, me too. Yeah. You know, and in a way, now here we are nerding out on this stuff. But hang on, people, don't go anywhere. This is actually going to be fun stuff. It's kind of like asking a band whether they write the lyrics first or write the music first. Because for a lot of people, it's always just that one way. And so for me, it's always I write the email and then I have to come up with the subject line. But I know I have a lot of colleagues in this business who say the way their brain works is the subject line comes to them first. And it's so good that they have to write an email justifying that subject line. Mm. I would love to, because I think I spend almost as much time thinking of the subject line. And by the way, I'll tell you, a subject line template that works for me, but I have to use it sparingly because you don't want to lose the effect, is guess who just blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
They have to know who. That's the thing.
Right.
Or guess what, you know, the crazies are doing now. Like the guess what or guess who. For some reason, the curiosity is aroused enough they have to open. So I don't know that that works for everybody in every market, but if I do that and I only do it, you know, every once in a while, I find that people, you know, like they're saying, Woods, I don't have time to read your email, but doggone it, I have to. You know, you break yeah. them. You got to just break them.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you and I can keep talking just about writing emails here for a while.
Sorry, I know it's my favorite thing. I don't know why, but it's my favorite thing. And it's like the nerdiest thing in the world. And here I was, I look back, and I like to think of myself as being, in this day and age, this age of my life, kind of like a cool guy. But then I look at it and I realize, no, I still do the nerdiest things in the world. You know, I host a podcast and I write emails every day. And all right. You know, and then in my spare time, I travel the world so I can go to like museums and stuff. Okay. I'm still the same, I guess. But, and I didn't even know what Delta 8 was until you explained it to me. But anyway, listen, I'm glad to hear that you're doing well. But we still, I don't think, have given out the website. Why don't we do that?
Oh, good point. Yeah. It's thehempspot.com, and the is spelled THC, so it's thchempspot.com. It's a little play on words there.
I was too thick to notice what you were going at with that.
Yeah.
So it's the, okay. So is there already a thehempspot.com with a T-H-E?
Yes.
I see. Yeah, so you thought,
why,
what am I going to do?
Went this way.
Okay. That's
good. Yeah, that's the world of websites, as I know you're well familiar with.
Right. Okay.
Domain names.
Well, I'll link to it at tomwoods.com/2050.
And There's also, any of your listeners who are interested, I've got coupon code WOODS.
Of course you do.
15% off.
That's great, 15% off. Yeah, I think the funny thing is half of them would have typed it in anyway, even if you had to, just to test. I have people who write to me and say, I don't care what product it is, I just type in WOODS just to be safe, you know, just to see if there's
got
anything.
To.
All right, good, good, good. So THCHempSpot.com, thehempspot.com, but the E is a C. Very clever. So TomWoods.com/2050. Anything that we missed because I'm a dope when it comes to this subject?
I don't think so. We hit on pretty much all of the talking points that I would want to.
Oh, good.
So,
okay, good.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, my pleasure. All right. Well, thanks so much. Continued good luck. Linking to your site at TomWoods.com/2050. And stay in touch with me. Let me know how it goes.
I will. Thank you.
All right, folks. Tomorrow's episode is not going to be on YouTube. So all of my YouTube listeners, just make note of this because it's one of the best I've done in a while. And it's on the subject of masking. You think, I already know all about that. Yeah, but this is the best thing that there is out there. The best, the best, the best. You're going to love every minute of it. But I can't put it on YouTube because YouTube does not believe in letting adults have conversations with each other. So I will post it at TomWoods.com/2051. When it's available, it'll be there. Obviously, if you're listening to this right away, it's not produced yet. It's not up yet. But listen to it. You can listen to it on, I do have an Odyssey channel, TomWoods.com/vid. You can find all my episodes there for those of you who do listen on YouTube. But I would say tomorrow, try and listen on my website, TomWoods.com/2051, or use a podcast app or whatever. But it would be a shame for you to miss this one because I cannot put it up on YouTube. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. And I hope you'll be listening tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.